Shakalya is querying Sage Yajnavalkya. Concerning the deities and the supports of the various directions, the eastern direction has been touched upon. Now he asks, Kim Devato Asyam Dakshinayam Dishi, which is the deity that rules the southern direction? Yajnavalkya says, Yama is the deity. Yama represents the deity of justice. He is called Dharmaraja. And Dharma is connected with the principle of Yajna. Yajna is not, as we have already observed, a mere external performance in the sacred fire, but an alienation of the lower part of one's own self, so that self-sacrifice is yajna. And it is self-sacrifice of different intensities and grades that constitutes dharma ultimately. The essence of dharma is sacrifice of self. And so, Dharmaraja, the ultimate deciding factor of all canons of dharma or virtue or righteousness, has something to do with yajna or self-sacrifice. So, when a question was further put as to where Yama is founded, or what is the principle which Yama follows, the answer is yajna iti. Sacrifice is the principle. Kasminu yajna pratishthita iti. How do you decide the factor of yajna? Where is it founded? Dakshinayamiti. The hope of reward that will accrue out of the sacrifice is the propeller of all sacrifices. Here dakshina means that which comes as a reward, whatever be that reward. And so, the impulse behind any kind of sacrifice is the reward that accrues out of it. That reward may be a lower one or a higher one. It may be a temporal one or a spiritual one. Irrespective of the nature of the reward, it is that which impels the conduct of a sacrifice, again temporal or spiritual. Dakshinayam pratishthita iti. Kasmin dakshina pratishthita? Now, what is the principle that becomes responsible for this hope itself? How do you entertain a hope for a reward out of the sacrifice? How do you know that a reward will come at all? You may perform a sacrifice or do an action and no result may follow. What makes you feel or convinced that every action, every sacrifice must bear a fruit or a yield a result? Shraddhayamiti. You have got a faith. The faith that reward will accrue out of every action or sacrifice is therefore the foundation of the hope for reward. Shraddhayamiti yada hyeva shraddhate yata dakshinam dadati shraddhayam hyeva dakshina pratishthita kasminu shraddha pratishthiti. Now where is this faith founded? From where this faith comes? It is in your heart. Hridaya iti hovacha. So ultimately it is your heart that decides everything. The feeling is not the only function of the heart. It is a huge reservoir of various inscrutable factors. And understanding, feeling and various other psychological functions are no doubt included in the character of the heart. But the heart is something indescribable. Here by heart we do not mean the fleshy counterpart of what we call the heart, but the essence of the human being, the central part of human nature, the quintessence of what we are in our principality. That is what is called the heart. And so, It is the heart that is responsible for the hope that you entertain, the faith that you have, and the sacrifice that you perform. If the heart is not to be connected with your feelings, with your actions, then there would be no sense conveyed by the attitude or the conduct that you have in life or the actions that you perform. Heart really means your own self. In a particular form, your self assumes an association with the target or the goal of your action. It is something very inscrutable again, how your self is connected with the goal that is very remote in the future, maybe after birth, after several births. The self of the human being, which is the agent of action and which is the impulse behind all feelings, is inwardly connected with even the remotest goal or reward that may come even after millions of years. Hence, the heart is a very subtle connecting link between the individual and the ultimate reality. So, Yajnavalkya says, justice, law, sacrifice, hope for reward, faith, all these are ultimately manifestations of the functions of the heart, which is a subtle shape that is taken by the essence of the human being, namely the Atman itself. So, Hridaya is the ultimate root of all things. Well, that is very good, said Shakalya. Your answer is fine. Now I ask you another question. Kim devadosyam pradichyam dishi? In the western direction, which is the deity that rules? Varuna devata iti. The Varuna is the deity. The Lord of Waters is Varuna. It is this deity that rules the western direction. Varuna kaspin pradishthita iti? Which is the foundation for Varuna? How does he function? Apsviti. The principle of water, the tanmatras of water. You may call them the subtle constituent principles of what becomes later on grossly water. That is the basis of the function of Varuna. Kasmin apa pratishtita? Where is water founded? What is the foundation for the principle of water? Retas iti. Kasmin reta pratishtita miti hridaya iti. Here retas means the vitality of the individual, or vitality of anyone for the matter of that. It is believed that the water principle and the vital force in every being are interconnected, and the vital energy is regarded as the essence of waters. Water is the gross form, the vital energy is the subtle form. So the subtle form is the foundation for the gross form. Hence retas is the foundation for waters. But where is retas founded? Again it is in the heart. Hridaya iti. Tasmadapi pratirupam jatamahur hridayadiva. Sripto hridayadiva nirmita iti. Hridaye hyeva retah pratishthitam bhavati tyeva mevaitad yajnavalkya. It is the heart of a person that is reborn in the child, that is the replica of the individual. Which means to say the essence of the being, the quintessence of an individual, is represented by the heart. So again we have to say here that heart does not mean the physical substance. It is an inscrutable deciding factor of the total personality of the individual. That is called the heart. It is the centrality of the individual. And therefore we call it the heart. And so, anything that is of moment or consequence in life, anything that is worthwhile and carrying tremendous effect, must have some connection with the heart. You know very well that any word that you utter from the bottom of your heart, any action that you do propelled by the heart, and any feeling that you entertain deeply rising from the heart must produce a corresponding effect. But if it is not connected to the heart, the result may not follow. So it is said that the heart, again, even in this context, should be regarded as the central foundation for all other emanations thereof. Then Shakalya asks, what is the deity of the northern direction? Kim devato siyam udichyam dishisi. Soma devata iti sasoma kasmin pradishtha gaiti. Now here, the answer is in some way connected with the ancient system of ritualistic sacrifice. The deity of the northern direction, Yajnavalkya says, is Soma. Soma means the particular sacred juice called Soma, which the ancients utilized for the purpose of various sacrifices, especially Soma Yaga. And the deity of this particular sacred plant called Soma is supposed to be the moon. So moon also is called Soma. And so moon also is the deity of the northern direction. And inasmuch as it is the sacrifice that is here referred to as the connecting link with the deity of the northern direction, the foundation for this deity is supposed to be the discipline that is followed in the sacrifice. The deity of a sacrifice will not manifest itself unless the discipline thereof is properly followed. There are certain techniques of sacrifice. And the sacrifices are not merely external offerings made into the sacred fire, but are coupled with chants of mantras. And also, a more important factor, meditations. So the meditations, the chants, and the actual performance, these three are the essential disciplines of a sacrifice. And there are many other minor factors also. These disciplines are responsible for the manifestation of a deity, the vision of a deity, or the grace that is bestowed by the deity in the particular sacrifice. So Diksha is the foundation for the deity, which means to say Diksha is discipline. The sacred vow that one observes in the context of the performance of a sacrifice. So without this discipline, the fruit of the sacrifice will not be made visible, which means to say there won't be the vision of the deity connected with the sacrifice. So the discipline of the sacrifice is the foundation, the deciding factor of the manifestation of the deity. Dikshayamiti. Kasmino diksha pratishtitam. What is this discipline founded upon? Satya iti. Truth is the foundation for the discipline followed in the sacrifice. This is a very difficult term. Here truth means many things. It is the inner connection that obtains between the actual performance of an action and the result that it yields in a remote future. In certain schools of thought, this connection is called apurva, a special technical term, implying the potency invisibly produced by an action, carrying its effect in a distant future. This is called satya. And it has also some connection with ultimate reality, because the capacity of an action to produce a result in the remote future is due to the constituent nature of the ultimate reality itself. Otherwise, how can there be any connection between the present and the future, especially if the future is far, far away from the present in passage of time? Whatever be the distance between the present time and the future time, the connection is not broken. It is maintained. So that if you do an action today, its result is not destroyed. Its fruit cannot be regarded as nullified merely because of the fact it is a small action. Even if it is the smallest action, it will produce a result. Sometimes very weak actions produce results after many, many years. Strong actions produce results immediately. Many years may mean even millions of years. You may have to take many births in order to enjoy the fruit thereof. But the fruit will be there. Just as even one penny that you credit into your bank account is still there, notwithstanding the fact it is so little, even the littlest of actions produces a result. And the possibility of the production of a result from an action, even in a distant future, is the justice of the law of the universe. So that we may say that the universal law is ultimately just and impartially inexorable. There is no one who will be excluded from reward. There is nothing which will be kept out of sight of the ultimate law of the universe. Hence it is said that this discipline of the sacrifice which yields fruits in the distant future is founded on ultimate truth, which is satya. Tasmadapi dikshita mahu satyam vadati satyekhyeva diksha pratishthita. All religious vows are ultimately based on truth. Kasminu satyam pratishthitam. Where is truth founded? Very difficult questions. And Yajnavalkya says, again, it is in the heart of a being. Here when he says that the heart is the foundation for truth, he means relative truth as well as absolute truth. There are degrees of reality. And all these are comprehended in the feelings of the heart. When it is the feeling that functions, the goal of the feeling is a tentative or a relative truth. But this relative truth is somehow or other connected with absolute truth. The materialization of a result out of an action which proceeds out of the heart of an individual is, to repeat what I have already mentioned to you, the consequence of the universality of law. And so, the heart of an individual which performs actions, which propels feelings, and which is the reaper of the fruits of actions, is connected with the truth, which is, from our point of view, relative, but from its own point of view, absolute. Hridayena hi satyam janadi, hridaye hyeva satyam pratishthitam bhavati iti eva vaimaritad yajnavalkya. Now, Shakalya asks, which is the deity of the direction which is above? You have given the description of the various deities and their foundations in respect of the four quarters. Now, kim davata devadosyam dhruvayam dishyasiti, the direction that is overhead, the top, is also presided over by a divine principle. What is that? Agni devata iti, it is the brilliance of the sun that can be regarded as the presiding deity of the central direction which is above. The comparison is because of the brilliance. The fixed direction overhead is presided over by the fire principle whose obvious physical manifestation is the sun. Saha agni kasmin pratishthita iti vachi. Where is this fire founded? Speech. The speech of the Supreme Being, the Virat Purusha, is always mentioned in the Upanishad as the cause of the manifestation of agni as devata, as you have already studied earlier. Kasmin vak pratishthita iti. Now again, speech is to be founded on something. Your heart again. Yajnavalkya sums up all his teachings by saying that everything is ultimately in your heart. Whether it is an action that you perform, or a speech that you utter, or a feeling that occurs to you, or the nature of the reward of the action that accrues out of your actions, whatever be the thing that is connected with you, all this is founded in the central being of yours, the self of yours, your own hridaya, your own heart. Now Shakalya asks, where is the heart founded? Yajnavalkya says, you are a foolish man. You are asking me, where is the heart founded? Don't you know where the heart is? You want the foundation for the heart? Ahalliketi hovacha Yajnavalkya yatra etad astya atra asmin asman manyasaihi atra asman manyasaihi yadhyetad anyatra asmat shvano vainat adyu vayamsi vainat vimatni ranniti. If the heart is not in your own self, if it can be anywhere else, what will happen to you? Dogs will eat you and vultures may tear you to pieces. What a question you ask. Heart cannot be anywhere else than in your own self. So the question is futile and the answer therefore is not called for in connection with such a stupid question as to where the heart is founded. But Shakalya is not deterred by this repulsive answer of Yajnavalkya. He further raises questions. Kasmin tvam chatmaja pratishthito, yourself and your body, where are they founded? Prana iti. The body of an individual may be said to be founded in the prana, the vital breath, because it is the vital breath that sustains the body. The prana is a particular function of the vital force by which we breathe out. When we exhale, when we expire, there is the prana functioning. And when we inhale, the apana functions. So, the prana in its principal form may be said to be the foundation for the body, the personality of the individual. Where is the prana founded? In the apana. Apane pratishthita. If the apana is not to work in the opposite direction, the prana would go out. It has to be held in check by the counteracting force of the apana. While the prana is trying to go up, the apana is trying to go down. If the prana is not to be pulled up, the apana will go down and then it will not be inside the body. It will be pulled down by the gravity of the earth. And if the apana is not to go down, the prana will go up. So the two moving up and down keep themselves in position. So prana is founded in apana. Its function, its existence within the body is due to the work of the apana that goes downward in the counter direction. Now, where is apana founded? Vyana iti. Vyana is the force that operates throughout the body, due to which there is circulation of blood. The blood moves equally throughout the veins and arteries, etc. in the body on account of the vyana prana, a particular function of prana known as vyana. The prana and apana work in this manner, in the upward and downward directions, on account of the controlling activity of the vyana, which is equally moving or spread out throughout the body. So if the vyana is not to be there, the prana and apana will not be held in position or in harmony. So vyana is the support of apana also. Kasmin vyana pratishtita iti? Udana iti. Udana is the support for vyana also. Udana is a very peculiar function of the vital energy. It is like a post to which animals are tied. The animals, you know, try to go this way and that way in various directions. And they are not allowed to go according to their own whim and fancy by being tethered to a post. Likewise, the udana is a principal function whose seat is supposed to be the throat. to which the other functions, the prana, are tied as it were, like a post as it were. And so udana is the support for the operation of the other aspects of the vital energy, prana, apana and dhyana. If the udana were not to be there as an immovable reality of the prana, the other functions will not perform their duties as requested, as expected. Kasmin vyana pratishtita iti udana iti. Kasmin udana pratishtita iti samana iti. Samana is the subtlest form of vital force. Its seat is in the navel. It digests food and it is the cause of the heat that we feel inside the body. It is the subtlest form of prana, and these gross forms which are mentioned are ultimately resolvable into this subtlest form, namely samana. So samana is the ultimate support for all these functions. This subtle being which is hidden behind even the samana is your real self, on account of whose presence these pranas are operating in this systematic manner. Why should the prana move in this way and apana that way and vyana and udana and samana in different ways, as if they are following some law or system or order? Who is this justice or judge who dispenses the law in the case of the functions of all these vital energies? That is something superior even to the samana, and no one can know what it is. You can only say what it is not. You cannot say what it is. It is not the body. It is not the senses. It is not any one of the pranas. It is not even the mind. It is not the intellect. What else it is, you do not know. If anyone asks you, what is this essential self in you, you can only say, it is not this, it is not this. But you cannot say what it is. Because to characterize it in any manner would be to define it in terms of qualities that are obtainable in the world of objects. The world of objects can be defined by characters perceivable to the eyes or sensible to the touch, etc. But the Atman is the presupposition and the precondition of every kind of perception. It is the proof of all proofs. Everything requires a proof, but it does not require a proof, because it is the source of all proof. And therefore, no one can define it, no one can say what it is. It can only be inferred, because if it were not to be, nothing else could be. So, it can be said to be capable of definition only in a negative manner, as not this, not this. Neti neti atma. This atman is defined as not this, not this, or not thus, not thus, not in this manner, not in this manner. Nothing that is known, nothing that is sensed, nothing that is capable of being expressed by word, nothing that is definable, nothing of the sort. What it is, no one can say. It is impossible to grasp it through either the power of speech or the power of senses or the power of mind. So it is agrikhya nagih agrikhyate. It is impossible to grasp it. It is ungraspable. That is the Atma. Agrikhyo nagrikhyate ashiriyo naishirete. It is undiminishable. It neither grows nor does it become less in its capacity. It is ever the same, like the immeasurable ocean. Asango naisajyate. It does not come in contact with anything. It is impossible to conceive of its adherence to anything. There is nothing second to it. Asito navyatate. It cannot be affected by anything outside it. Nothing outside it exists. So it is unmodifiable. So it has no sorrow or grief of any kind. Narishyati. It never comes down in its status. Etani ashtav ayatanani ashtav loko ashtav deva ashtav purushaha sayastan purushan niruhya pratuhya atyakramat. Now we have described in the earlier sections the various deities, etc., and the perceptions and the abodes You have already heard all these things, the deities, their abodes, the various forms of perception of the deities, etc., beginning from earth onwards, up to the last deity in the earlier direction. Now these deities, these abodes, these perceptions, and these results of sacrifice, etc., etc., are all projected, as it were, from something and withdrawn, as it were, into something which is neither known to any of these deities nor known to any individual, yet which must exist. It is a supreme being. Yajnavalkya questions Yakalya, "Do you know what is this supreme being I am referring to?" The great being that is sung in the Upanishads. "Tam tva Upanishadam Purusham Prachami." I ask you, what is this great Purusha, the great being sung of in the Upanishads, in the sacred texts, the one being due to whose existence itself these deities function and perform their duties in a systematic manner? If you cannot tell me who this being is sung of in the Upanishads, your head will fall. And Shakalya did not know who this Purusha was. "Tam tva Upanishadam Purusham Prachami, tam chenme inna vivachyasi murdha te vipatishyati." Tam hanamene, Shakalya, the poor man who put so many questions to Yajnavalkya and received so many fantastic answers, cannot answer this single question: who is this Purusha that is sung of in the Upanishads? And Yajnavalkya has already cast an imprecation. "You have tired me very much by querying me so much. Now I put one question only to you. You tell me who is this being, otherwise your head down falls." And it fell. In the audience of King Janaka, this catastrophe took place because of the imprecation of Yajnavalkya's words and the impossibility of Shakalya to answer this question. The head fell. "Tasya murdha vipapata api hasya parimoshino asti nyapajakru ranyan manyamana." His disciples were grieved. "Oh, my man has fallen, my guru has fallen down." So they took the body and wanted to cremate it. They were carrying the load. On the way, some robbers observed some load being carried, and they thought some treasure is being taken perhaps. So they attacked his disciples and took away the load. So even the bones were not available for the disciples. They lost the whole person. This is a pitiable, tragic conclusion of the great Bahudakshina Yajna which Janaka performed, and the seminar which he held, the conclusion of which was that many wonderful questions were raised, very interesting answers were given, and knowledge bloomed forth in the court of Janaka, but one man lost his head. Now Yajnavalkya says, "If any one of you wants to put more questions, let them come." Nobody dared to open a mouth afterwards. They all wanted to know whether it could be possible for them to get away from that place. Because head is very dear. "Atha hovacha brahmanaha bhagavanto yova kamayate samapruchyatu." Learned men, if any one of you can stand up and ask me questions, any more questions, I am ready to answer. "Athava all, or all of you can put questions to me at one stroke, I am ready to answer. Or I may question you, if you like, singly. Or I may question all of you." When this was told by Yajnavalkya, everyone kept quiet. Brahmana nadazrushu, everyone was frightened of this consequence of Shakalya's head. And so they closed their mouths and did not put any further questions. Then Yajnavalkya speaks independently, without being put any question. Now nobody speaks. So I have something to tell you. Yatha vrittho vanaspatihi tathaiva purusho amrusha. I tell you in truth, friends, this human being is something like a tree. There is some similarity between the tree and a human being. The hairs on the body of the human being may be compared to the leaves on the tree. Just as leaves grow on the tree, hair grows on the body. Tasya lomani parnani, tvagasyotpatika bahihi. The bark of a tree and the skin of the human being may be compared with one another. Just as there is a bark outside the tree, there is a skin on the outside of the body. Tvachaye vasya rudhiram prasyandi. From the bark, the juice of the tree exudes. Likewise, blood can exude from the skin of a body. Tvacha utpata. Tasmat tada atrinnat praiti raso vraksha divahatat. When you cut a tree, its essence exudes. Likewise, an injured person exudes blood from the body. Tasmat mamsa nyasya shakarani. The inner bark of the tree may be compared to the flesh in the body of a human being. Kinatam snavata sthiram. The sinews inside the flesh of the human body may be compared to the inner bark of the tree. Asthinya antarato daruni. The bones inside the body may be compared to the pith of the wood inside the tree. Majjo majjopamamrata. The marrow inside the bone may be compared to the marrow inside the pith of the tree. Yad vritcho vrikno rohati moolan namatarapuna. Now, the question of Yajnavalkya comes. He puts a question. If a tree is cut, it grows again. It does not perish. Yad vritcho vrikno rohati moolan namatarapuna. A new tree, as it were, grows from the stem which remains even after the tree is cut. Now I ask you a question, my dear friends. What is the thing which enables the human being to grow even after death? Martyasvin mrityuna vrakna kasman mulat prarohati. If death is to snatch away the body of an individual, from which root does he grow again into new birth? You know how the tree grows even if it is cut. But how does a human being grow? He is killed by death and his body is no more. When there is nothing which can be called a remnant of the individual after the death of the body, what is the seed out of which his new body is fashioned? What is the connection between the future birth of an individual and the present state of apparent extinction at the time of death? Martyasvin mrityuna vrikna kasman moolat prarohati retasa iti mavochata. Don't tell us, don't tell me that the man is born out of the seed of the human being. No, because the seed can be there only in a living human being. A dead person has no seed. So the man is dead. What is it that becomes the connection between the present annihilation and the future birth? It is not a seed, it is something else. Jivatastat prajayate dhanaroha evai vritcho anjasa pretya sambhava. The tree grows out of the seed. If the seed is not there, how can the tree grow? Something vital must be there in the tree in order that the trunk at least may grow. But if nothing is there, suppose you pluck out the very root of the tree itself, there will be no further growth of the tree. Yat samulam avrahet yuritcham na punarar. If the root of a tree is pulled out, the tree will not grow. So if the root of a person is pulled out at the time of death, what is it that grows after death? Martyasvin mrityuna vrikna kasman moolat prarohati. You cannot conceive of any root for the individual being. There is no root, everything is destroyed. The body has gone. So he does not leave a seed behind him, nor is there a root, even the root has gone. So what is the answer to this question?
Jata eva na jayate konvevam janayat punaha.
You may say that he is born and he is dead, the matter is over. Where is the question of his rebirth? Who tells you that there is rebirth? So why not we say that the matter is very simple. Something has come, something has gone, the matter is over. So there is no question of there being a connection between the present state of annihilation and the future birth. No, says Yajnavalkya. It is not possible. Because konvevam janayat punah jayate, if there is not to be rebirth, there would be an inexplicability of the variety of experiences in the present individuals.
You will find that there is no answer to the question as to why there is variety of constitutions.
One can enjoy what one does not deserve, and one can suffer the consequences of actions which one has not done. If there is not going to be any connection between the past and the future, anyone's action can bear fruit in any other individual. If I do good, you may get the reward. Or I may do bad, you may suffer for it. If this is not to take place, there should be some connection between the present condition of the individual and the future condition. The impossibility or the unjustifiability of someone enjoying what one does not deserve, or someone suffering which is not the consequence of one's actions, is called akrita abhyagama and akrita nasha in Sanskrit. Yajnavalkya says, there is nothing conceivably left of the individual when he perishes in his physical body. But there is something which connects him with even the remotest form of life. He can be born in the most distant regions, not necessarily in this world. After the death of the body, rebirth can take place, not necessarily in this world, but even in most distant regions. What is it that carries you to that distant region? Vijnanam anandam brahma radhir datuh parayanam. It is the absolute that is responsible for it ultimately. He is the bestower of the fruits of all actions. And actions yield fruit only on account of the existence of the absolute. If it were not to be, actions will not produce any result, and no cause will be connected with any effect. So ultimately it is the consciousness bliss which is the supreme Brahman that is the root of the individual.
Vijnanam anandam brahma ratir datuh parayanam.
It is the support of not only the individual in future birth, but also the ultimate support of one who is established in it by knowing it. So the supreme being, the absolute, is the support not only of the individuals that transmigrate in the process of samsara, but also the ultimate resort of the liberated soul who knows it and becomes it by self-identification. So it is a goal not only relatively to all the jivas, but also absolutely to the Atman in all the jivas. So Yajnavalkya closes his discourse and the audience disperses. The supreme Brahman is the source of all, and every value visible or perceivable in life is due to its being. It functions not as individuals do, it acts not, but its very existence is all action, and its very being is all value, and the goal of the lives of all individuals is the realization of this Brahman.
Hari Om Tatsat. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaye Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om.